Chapter 1, Saving the World Without Night Vision Goggles. One day, the garage next door was finally sold. Billy and Sally couldn't wait to find out who bought it.
Garage?
Yeah.
Only a garage, not a house?
No, just a garage. Like a big garage. Was it an old, cranky woman who smelled like cats and yogurt? A cool young couple with tight jeans? A Russian spy? A family with a boy and girl their age? Soon after, large packages started arriving at the garage. They were delivered to the garage door throughout the day, and the next morning they were gone. Someone must be living there, Sally said. It's probably a mad scientist trying to take over the world, Billy suggested. The word mad here means crazy, not angry. After a week of packages mysteriously arriving and disappearing, a small stream of blue smoke appeared from the chimney. They heard strange noises, maybe voices, coming from inside. Once, Billy was convinced he heard a boom, followed by a maniacal laugh. A maniacal laugh is the classic bad guy laugh you hear in all the movies. Mwahahaha. And if someone is reading this book aloud to you, make sure they go back and do the laugh the right way.
Go back and do the laugh the right way.
Mwah, ah, ah. I mean, really, I guess a maniacal laugh would be more like... Sally said it sounded more like a small dog barking, but Billy thought his version was more exciting. The mystery was eating at them, but not literally. Mysteries can't eat people. What was in there? Being children, they decided they had no choice but to conduct a proper stakeout. They would stay up all night spying on their mysterious neighbor. Someone must at least open the door to pick up the packages, right? After dinner, they grabbed their binoculars, changed into all black clothes, and powered on their walkie-talkies. Billy smeared mud on his face for camouflage. I think we should be posted behind the big oak tree in case we need to take evasive action, Billy shouted excitedly. What's evasive action? Sally asked. Not sure, but it sounds cool, like something you would do during a stakeout or battle. I think the upstairs bedroom window provides a great view, Sally suggested reasonably. Great idea, then we can rig up a set of sheets tied together that we can climb down in case we need to chase someone, or if there's an explosion we need to take evasive action. In the end, they decided on two hiding spots, the big oak tree and the bedroom window. Billy took the oak tree, ready for evasive action, if he ever figured out what it was, and Sally took the window, clutching her trusty binoculars. Billy suggested using night vision goggles, but Sally helpfully pointed out they didn't have night vision goggles, nor did they know any generous secret agents who would lend them a pair. Everything was set, so they settled down, ready for their first stakeout. The night started slowly, like a grandma walking through maple syrup, or a llama with no legs. Billy sat behind the tree, and Sally was above and behind him in the window. There was a pile of the mysterious packages sitting outside the garage door, but not a creature was stirring, except for some squirrels, owls, raccoons, and a whole bunch of other animals. What was in those packages? The tension was so buttery you could cut it with a chainsaw.
The tension?
Yeah, like nervousness and like not sure what's going to happen, and that's like tension.
But why would it be buttery?
Well, it's a play on words. There's a phrase that's, the tension was so thick, you could cut it with a butter knife. But this says, whoever wrote this, Ramen Pepperoni, seems like a smart guy. He said the tension was so buttery, you could cut it with a chainsaw. And as the night continued, the children began to get bored, especially Billy. Please read this paragraph in a boring voice. The moon was full, which lit up the night, and...
You wrote it.
Well, it says directions, right? It says, please read this paragraph in a boring voice.
Yeah, but you wrote that.
No, I didn't. Ramen Pepperoni did. The moon was full, which lit up the night and made the stakeout seem somehow less exciting, less mysterious. Billy wished it was pitch black so he could see his enemies with his night vision goggles. It would be so cool if he had them. As they waited, the seconds turned into minutes. The minutes turned into 45 minutes, then 46 minutes, then 47, then 48, then 49, then 50, then 51 minutes. Sally, from her perch in the bedroom, peered anxiously toward the garage door, waiting for something to emerge from his or her or its home. Her hands were sweaty. Would she see tentacles? Claws? 52 minutes. 52 and a half minutes. 52 minutes and 31 seconds. 52 minutes and 32 seconds. 52 minutes and 33 seconds. At this point, most of my readers have either fallen asleep or thrown this book back in the face of whichever poor friend convinced them this book was worth their time. Hopefully, that's not you. This book is definitely worth your time. Unless, of course, you're a skydiver and your parachute didn't open, in which case you don't have much time and you should definitely put this book down right away. Also, don't forget to check your little safety parachute. That might still work. But if you're still reading this and you're not a skydiver, then you know how Billy and Sally felt as they waited for something to happen. Bored. They were realizing stakeouts weren't as action-packed as they had imagined. Then all of a sudden, a plume of smoke, this time yellow, started rising from the chimney. The smoke was usually blue. Bill Bird 643.5 breaker to Salgao 33. Come in, Salgao 33. Billy whispered into his walkie-talkie in his most soldier-sounding voice. Make sure to read that in a soldier-sounding voice. Okay. Bill Bird 643.5 breaker to Salgao 33. Come in, Salgao 33. It says make sure to read that. Let's see. Hi, Billy. This is Sally. I don't think you need to use code names. I doubt anyone else is listening. Soldier, how dare you use my real name? We're on a mission. Okay, this is Salgao. What's up? It's Salgao 33. Do you see that smoke coming from the chimney? I do. What should we do, Salgao 33?
That is not what Billy sounds like.
What should we do, Salgao 33?
That's not
What
how.
shall we do, though, Salgao 33?
No.
What shall we do, Salgao 33? He's trying to sound like a soldier, though. If it was a matter of thinking, planning, or not doing stupid things, Sally was the expert. Just wait, see what happens, Sally said. Brilliant, thought Billy with admiration. The
How
waiting.
old are they?
That's about. So. The
Mom and
waiting.
Dad.
Yeah, they're like around age. Years old. Age years old, yeah.
Wow, Dad.
The waiting paid off.
What do they look like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's these pictures here.
What is it? Classy? Dad, did you draw this?
No, I think Robin Pepperoni did.
Yeah.
Um,
Yep, I still remember him stealing my little tiny notebook.
why would Robin Pepperoni do that?
Like, it was so long ago. I remember you taking my little tiny notebook that I was using, and you said, "Hey, can I have that?"
Was
And
it
you drew.
heart-shaped?
Yeah. And you drew stick figures. And I took a picture of them.
High tech. The waiting paid off. A minute later, the door opened and some long, cold fingers came out. The fingers were attached to an old hand. The hand peeked out of the crack in the door and reached towards one of the packages. Sally put her radio down and clasped the binoculars even tighter. Billy positioned himself for evasive action, which he now guessed was.
Dad, why did Mom and Pepperoni call them radios and not walkie-talkies?
Some people just call them radios, I guess.
But he's not a person.
Billy positioned himself for evasive action, which he now guessed was one leg in front of the other, with his fist
Dad,
clenched.
did you write dedicated to Lydia Marie?
Nope.
What?
But it could have been. I mean, it
Why didn't
was.
you? That is so rude.
Because.
You could have done dedicated to Steve Murphy.
Well, it was written for Lydia Murphy.
So? Dedicated to Uncle, I mean Grandpa Steve.
The old hand, as it turned out, was attached to an arm. That arm was attached to a body. I bet that body's attached to a neck. And that neck is attached to a head, thought Billy, proud of his quick thinking. Sure enough, Billy was right.
But we're going to quiet tomorrow.
The children saw a strange head out of that doorway. The children saw a strange head coming out of that doorway. It was night, and the light from the inside of the garage made it so they could only make out a silhouette. It was an oddly shaped head, like a stretched-out egg pointed at both ends. Like a skinny football. On top of this head was a puff of hair on each side, with nothing but bald in the middle. The Einstein haircut, just as Billy suspected. I knew it, Billy shouted into his radio. A mad scientist who's scheming to take over the world. As he said this, he thought about how perfect it was that the moon was... let's wait and see if he comes out to get all the packages. Sally provided yet another level-headed suggestion. She was so good at those. But what if those bombs are intended for world domination? Billy, we don't know if he's dangerous. No, I can't let him get away with this. Just stay put. No, I must defend the world against evil. I will stop him at all costs. Billy, stop and think for a moment. I can't. There's no time. It's time for evasive action. At this moment, five things happened. The first thing that happened was that Billy dropped his radio and would have dropped his night vision goggles if he had had them. And he ran towards the open door, screaming a courageous battle cry, his arms flailing wildly in the air, ready to destroy evil, whatever its form. The second thing that happened was that Sally realized it was a huge mistake to let her brother hide so close to the battlefield, where she couldn't stop him. He was one to act without thinking. The fourth thing that happened was that the author lost count of how many things happened. The fifth thing that happened was that the mysterious human figure in the doorway, well, did nothing. Not a movement, not a twitch. Despite the crazy wild man cry of the evil, destroying, bad guy getting, world defending Billy Smith, the man did not react at all. He just continued to collect his packages like he never noticed the scream. He was currently trying to read the label of one of the packages by the moonlight. Looking for the detonator, perhaps? Billy ran across the lawn. Dew spraying as he ran. His heart was beating faster and faster. Sally was yelling at him. Billy was getting closer, ready to tackle the mad scientist, throw himself on the bomb, and save humanity. Stop, Billy! Sally's yelling could be heard up coming from the radio that was now sitting on the ground by the oak tree. As Billy neared the stockpile of packaged weapons, a sharp pain shot through his ankle. A maniacal laugh came from somewhere. Billy fell, hitting the ground hard as the evil laugh continued.